Welcome to Family Talk with psychologist and author and your host, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson. And Ryan and Doctor, as a mom with kids still at home, I find it so difficult, in fact, quite impossible, to find movies, songs, computer games, all kinds of media that is appropriate for my kids and our values. In fact, Ryan, you and I have given up on cable completely, haven't we?
It's true, Luann. It is shocking what they market today as appropriate for kids. And I have to say, those that know me would be surprised because I love to watch TV, and it is one of the best decisions I've ever made, and I don't miss it at all.
Well, that's a good plan, Ryan. And honestly, I'm one of those people that never thought you would do that. But that shows your commitment to your family and especially to your little boy.
That's right.
And to my grandson. So you're doing a great job. The media is just saturated with filth and perversion and sacrilege. That Hollywood is trying to shove down our throats. And it really is disgusting and offensive that all this junk, and that's what it is, it's junk, is published and produced for both adults and kids. And I think it's having a devastating effect on our culture and on our way of life.
Well, unfortunately, it's reflective of the culture at large, Dad. And I'm glad that we have our guest here today who has devoted his life to helping parents like me, and I use your services a lot, to figure out what is appropriate, what's not appropriate. I was using it recently on a movie for my son, and I'm glad that I did because we didn't let him watch it. I think that one's going to go unnamed. But I am really looking forward to hearing from him today.
Well, you're talking about Dr. Ted Bear, who's joining us today. Ted and I have known each other for many years. Yeah. How long has it been? 30?
I think it's at least 30 years.
You're about to date yourself.
And I do have such high regard for him. He's a writer. He's written a book that's been out a couple of years now. Wrote it with Pat Boone, and it's called The Culture Wise Family: Upholding Christian Values in the Mass Media World. Dr. Bear is best known for the outstanding movie evaluations he provides online through his movie guide analysis. Ted, you truly are a godsend to so many families, so many parents like Luann and Ryan, who are attempting to do what's right. And you were in my office just a few minutes ago, and I wish everybody could have heard what you said. Ryan, you and Luann were also there. And you were telling about the fact that you were not a believer in Jesus Christ, had no interest in things of the Scripture or things of God. And you were 28 before you really had an encounter with him. Why don't we start by you telling that?
Well, my parents were stars in Hollywood. My father was a cowboy star, and I grew up bi-coastal, and my mother died when I was young, so I got one of those negative feelings about if there was a God, he couldn't be good because he wouldn't have taken my mother, so I felt angry. So once upon a time, this beautiful woman was trying to date my father because he was cute, and she said, "You hate God so much, why don't you just read the Bible and tell me what's wrong with it?" And it took me a couple of months, and finally I started reading it, and God spoke to me. And then I can remember the time. It was like 11 a.m. on a Saturday, February 12th, 1975, and she said, "Do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And I did. And it was clearly God that changed my life. It wasn't anything else.
Ted, you've probably never had an interview that started with this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. There have to be people listening to us today almost by accident. People riding in a car, people who happen to turn on the radio and they hear voices instead of music, and they got interested perhaps in what you've said thus far. And they have never known Jesus. And you're talking to them right now. What are you going to say to them? Because you came that same route, and the Lord got through to you.
Well, before you come to Christ, and I do weddings as a pastor, and I say it's like choosing your wife. Before you do, you know, there's a lot of possibilities. But once you do, Vince becomes the only person in the world. Once you choose Jesus, a whole new world opens up for you.
The Bible says you become a new creature. Is that really true?
You become a new creature. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing more exciting, nothing more fascinating than a walk with God.
Mm-hmm. Now, you went on from there to the work you're doing now, where your great passion is to preserve righteousness in the culture and to help those who want to avoid the wretched material that's out there and to bring into their family things that are uplifting and things that are clean and holy. And you're doing such an incredible job with it. Mm-hmm. And you try to bring as many people in Hollywood to the Lord as you can, don't you?
Well, not only do we try to bring a lot of people in Hollywood, and we see people coming in Hollywood all the time. We see extraordinary cases of, you know, a Jewish man sitting next to my wife was saying, you know, I had this phone call with you a couple of years ago. He was one of the top writers on television. He was very anti-Christian at the time, and I talked to you for an hour. I've now become a Messianic Jew. So we see people transform. All we have to do is introduce the truth to them in a powerful way. I must admit that the importance of what you've said earlier about your children and learning how to be media-wise and culture-wise is the most important person in Hollywood is the 12 to 24-year-old who goes to movies. Mm. So the key in reaching these 12-year-olds, one is it gives them especially their scripts for behavior. You know, 100 years ago, the scripts of behavior were given by our parents at that stage of cognitive development. Today, they get the scripts of behavior because their parents are both working from the media that they're watching, and they're not good at all. So it is critical, one, to protect them, but number two, when they vote, and they vote for the good, it changes the society.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the changing the media changes the culture.
Well, that's sad because the culture is in the sewer for the most part. Yeah, there's some good stuff out there.
And you know that. But you know that the media is the thing that we can redeem. We need to repair the culture. We need to get those values back. And we see that's happening. We see changes taking place. So this is good news. The amount of foul language, according to a university in Utah, has gone down by 50% since we've been doing our work in Hollywood. And the amount of
was that done because people don't want to hear it or see it?
Yeah.
Are they changing because of the culture?
Usually say that they don't want to see it. According to an LA Times Gallup poll, 74% of the young girls don't want to see sex and violence, and about 58% of the young boys.
74%?
And 58. Now, you know, make the connection here because most of this is acculturation. We have acculturized our children to accept things that they shouldn't accept. Mm. In fact, I'll give you a couple of indications. It's like smoking or drinking or whatever else. You start off the first time it's terrible, and then you keep doing it so that you can hang out with everybody else that's there, and then it becomes a craving that you have for the people who are susceptible to smoking or drinking.
Yeah, so, you said it's a process of acculturation, but it's also a process of desensitization. Yeah.
Exactly.
Things bother you in the beginning,
right,
and then they seem okay. Mm-hmm. It's just the process.
And we know a lot about this. I mean, there have been 500,000 studies, it's said, on the media. But as far as we can discern, there's only one study that says, and it was done in 1985, that says the media doesn't have an influence, and that study's never been replicated. Mm-hmm. So I'd be willing to conclude that if there are 500,000 studies and, you know, 999 say that it has an influence, it has an influence.
Dr. Barra, we've alluded to your movie guide. For someone who doesn't know what that is, explain that briefly.
Well, movie guide is part of our process of helping families become media-wise. The CultureWise family teaches them how to become CultureWise, how to teach their children at different stages of development. And then Movie Guide gives you the information. And thank you, Ryan, for his comments. What we try to do is present a lot of information to help you know before you go. And I'm always getting people calling me and say, my daughter wanted to see this movie, and then I read her the content section, and she said no more. So we're the first line of defense. The New York Times calls us the most conservative. But we're also growing phenomenally, and our biggest audience is between 12 and 24. Mm. So I think there's something wrong with the New York Times if the 12 to 24-year-olds are coming to.
And you review every movie
every
that
movie.
Comes out.
100% of the movies.
That's amazing.
That's a huge service to parents like me who, number one, don't want to go to every film, and number two, can't afford it at $8, $9, $10 a pop. And what I appreciate about this, Dr. Baer, is you've taken all of the conflict away between the parent and the child because you are an objective third party that we can both go to. It's an example of, hey, here is someone who studies films for a living and this is what they say. This is not a conflict between a parent and a child. It's a wonderful tool we can both go to.
Even if you turn off the cable, which I applaud you, two of my children do not watch TV at all, and I applaud them, and I love them dearly. But you have to build in that internal mechanism that says no. And I can give you a lot of examples, but we know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to build in those control mechanisms. There are tools out there that you can use to help your children understand. Now, will they all go along with it? No. But a lot of them will. A lot of them have a propensity to want to do the good. Mm-hmm. You just have to equip them so that you don't have to fight with them anymore. And this is one of the big problems. Parents don't know what their kids are watching, and they need to be concerned.
Right.
You have an awful lot of data showing that movies that have a lot of sex and violence in them, and in fact, the most violent and lustful movies, if I can use that term, don't do very well. Family films do better. It's amazing how well they do.
Mm-hmm.
And if the people in Hollywood want to make money, which is the driving force we would think, they would pick up on that and understand it. But they don't. They keep bringing out this junk. You mentioned when we were talking earlier that people really don't like movies about homosexuality. And young people don't. It's amazing. And yet they continue to make them. So what's going on?
Well, I'm going to give you a complete answer here, so bear with me. Number one, Hollywood makes movies for different groups. It's just like car companies that they want to make convertibles for young boys who want to pick up girls, and they want to make SUVs for older people who want to go hunting and, you know, take their kids around. So they make different types of movies. Number two is Hollywood has, in movies and entertainment and radio, has various different functions. One function is it's an art. And then the second function is it communicates. Movies and television communicate. And therefore, there are people who have this particular bent who want to communicate. There's a homosexual community that wants to make milk. There's also Christians that want to do Amazing Grace. And three is that movies and television work differently.
Yeah.
So in television, you have the gatekeepers. And friends of mine who run Walmart and Procter & Gamble, and you know them too, and are trying to do the Procter & Gamble Walmart movie night, for years came out to Hollywood, do what we do. We do an analysis of movies, like an MRI of movies. They would do it for television, and they would spend over $10 million doing this analysis. They found out that women, when they had children, became more conservative because they wanted to protect their children. They found out what women want, to paraphrase the movie.
You can really know that?
And for three
I gotta
hours,
get that data.
And then in the afternoon, one of them calls me up and says, "This is awful. We spend all this time and money." And then the afternoon, the network executives come up and say, "Well, we know that's what they want, but we have to change that. We have to change what they think. We have to change who they are." So the television—
So it's propaganda.
So it's propaganda for television. Hmm. For television, you have hundreds of little stations. You have some that have very clear agendas. You have some that you may not know that they have clear agendas. In movies, it's a little bit different. In movies, even when they try to make these movies— it's always a vote at the box office. This is a very democratic medium because, if the kids don't buy the tickets to Milk, the Academy Award winner that lost money at the box office, they won't go to Milk. So, but they do buy the tickets to go to Chronicles of Narnia.
Ted, you say in your book, The Culture-Wise Family, that movies have tremendous power to influence. And people do want to emulate what they see there. And that's why it's so important to protect your kids from the wrong images and the wrong productions. I wrote about that in my book, if I could be self-serving. When I was writing Bringing Up Boys, I talked about the fact that the extreme emphasis on beauty, youth and beauty, and worth being linked to that has been emphasized for so long on television and in Hollywood films. And I wrote this about it. The media and the entertainment industry are largely responsible for the assault on self-worth that we're witnessing today. They laud images of bodily perfection, including supermodels and playmates and babes and hunks. The net effect on children and teens is profound, not only in this country but around the world. We saw it illustrated dramatically when Western satellite TV transmission penetrated the islands of the South Pacific for the first time. It projected images of gorgeous, very thin actresses who starred on Melrose Place, Beverly Hills 90210, this has been a little while, and other teen-oriented shows. 4 years later, a survey of 65 Fijian girls revealed that their attitudes had been shaped or warped by what they had seen. Almost immediately, the girls began to dress and try to fix their hair like Western women. Dr. Ann Beecher, research director at the Harvard Eating Disorder Center, also observed serious changes in eating habits among Fijian adolescents. Those who watched TV three times per week or more were 50% more likely to perceive themselves as being too big or too fat than the others who did not, and more than 62% had attempted to diet in the previous 30 days. Mm. Isn't that interesting? You take a culture that's been shielded from all this stuff, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you show them some images on a screen, and that's what they want to look like.
And there's a whole lot of studies that are in the same area. There was a small town in Death Valley that didn't get any television because of the mountains around it. And this was 30 years ago. And the satellite company heard about it, put in a television, and found out the whole moral behavior of the town changed there.
Mm. Well, this is why it is so important for parents to guard what their kids see.
Absolutely.
I mean, yes. Do not permit it. Mm. Even if you have a fight over it, don't permit it. Because you're corrupting the morals and the values and the attitudes and the beliefs of your own mm-hmm. children when you pay money to Hollywood to teach them something you don't believe.
Dad,
man, I can get excited about that.
Dad, I get excited about it all the time.
Do me a favor. Talk to the parent who knows if they go home and say, I'm sorry you can't go see this, their kid is going to scream and howl and say, I don't like you. And they're struggling with that. Well, I want my kids to like me, and I want to be their friends, but I'm worried about this. They're thinking about it right now. What kind of a fight am I going to get into? Because all my friends are seeing it. I'm the only one that doesn't get to.
Well, I've got an answer for that. There are a lot of things that parents choose to fight over with their kids that really don't matter that much. I mean, they, you know, this takes us back a bit.
It does.
But, you know, sometimes the music that your kids listen to or whether the room is clean or a lot of these kind of things will not have eternal significance. But when you run up against one like we're talking about now, where the very soul of your child is being invaded mm-hmm. by those who deliberately want to destroy the things that you believe in, have taught, you stand like a rock. And if you have to fight over it, do it as kindly and respectfully as you can, but you don't let them do it.
Psalm 119, verse 36 says, turn my eyes from worthless things.
Yeah. Mm.
And why do we do that? So that we can see the people around us, so we can talk, so we can love our wives, love our children, and not be caught up in lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh.
Another translation of that says, I will set before mm-hmm. mine eyes no unclean thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like that.
Dr. Barrow, I was reading in your book where you said, watch a child who's watching TV and then think of all the things they're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not developing eye-hand coordination. They're not asking questions. They're not developing a relationship with another person. That really resonated with me. And again, it made me glad I've turned the TV off, because my son is just sitting there watching something and not growing or expanding or learning or anything, except he's being filled with whatever stuff is coming out of that tube.
Ryan, what good things happened in your home after you did that?
You know what? I mean, this is a personal thing, but I was surprised to watch Lincoln's creativity and imagination almost explode overnight. That he was being creative for himself, it wasn't being created for him. He was having to use his imagination. He started having little battles with his, you know, army men, and I can hear him talking in the other room, and there's adventures taking place, and he's thinking of new concepts. It changed everything. His behavior changed. I have to say it did. His behavior changed. And we don't let him watch junk. We watch benign things on channels that don't have commercials, but it changed.
Well, University of Indiana did this study which showed that if you take them off all of the TV and the games for 3 days, their test scores improve dramatically. Their interpersonal relationships improve. Their ability to concentrate improves.
In 3 days?
All of these 3 days.
Wow.
All of this starts now. The trouble is that those 3 days may be the worst days of your life.
Well, I can attest to that, because I know there have been times I've done that with my children, and they'll say, I'm bored. And then I tell you, Dr. Barry, you just give them that little bit of time, sometimes not 3 days, of an hour of boredom. They push through it, and then the things they discover to do are just phenomenal.
And you've said something very intelligent here about not being a friend to your child. You're the parent. We are called to be the father and the mother and to protect our children and not to be the ones who take them into the paths of darkness. So we have to be more mature about our own life. We're not called to be friends with our kids.
That's right.
We're called to love them, and love is a lot harder.
Dr. Baer, we are surrounded by media, as you've described, and it does overwhelm. It overwhelms me. In these closing moments, can you give me some ideas as a mom? What can I do to help train my children better?
That's a very good question, and we know a lot about what you can do. Years ago, I got 60 academics together in the late 70s to develop a way of doing that. Number one, you have to break the spell of the media. You have to help the children to understand that this is not real. You have to help them to understand that the media has an influence on them. It is very important. And I have all sorts of techniques for doing that, and they're all in the book. Number two, you have to understand the way children react at different stages of development. And number three, you have to understand the grammar of the media. How does the media speak to the heart, whereas books speak to the mind? And number four, you have to understand your values. That's probably the most difficult thing. I always thought that people knew their values inside out. I found out that most people are adrift, and Dr. Dobson has pointed this out many times, that they haven't clarified. You have to get your values clear. What do you want to teach your children? And number five, you have to learn to ask the right questions. Who's the hero? And if the hero wins the battle through murder and mayhem, does he agree with my values? Do my values say that he should win? You have to compare your values with the message of the movie. And please do it before you go. That's why we do movieguide.org. So you know before you take your children to see this movie, if it doesn't agree with your values, don't go down the slippery slope. Don't just compromise. Just say no. There's no reason. There's so much good out there. There's no reason to indulge in the bad.
Dr. Ted Baer has been our guest. He wrote a book, co-authored a book with Pat Boone called The Culture Wise Family, Upholding Christian Values in a Mass Media World. Thank you for writing this book and for the others that you've written, but thank you also for caring about families, caring about children, the next generation, caring about righteousness in a day when it seems like the majority of people, even in the Christian church, don't have time to be bothered with what's going on around them. And you have stood like a rock, and I appreciate you, my friend, and hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Thank you.
Oh, I so appreciate Dr. Baer's passion for protecting our children. You know, he doesn't warn against Hollywood just because every movie isn't based on the Bible, but because many of the messages in today's culture are poisons that warp our worldview. If you'd like to get a copy of the book, The Culture Wise Family, you can get all the information about that on our website, drjamesdobson.org. We'll also have a link to movieguide.org, Dr. Baer's review website that provides the information you need to decide if a film is appropriate before you take your kids. And can I just say, I love that our broadcast gives us the chance to spread the news about great tools like movieguide.org. It's been my pleasure to talk about this website because it will help you protect your children from harmful messages. And if you want to help Family Talk shine a spotlight on resources that are dedicated to protecting the family and changing our culture for the better, you can partner with us financially today. Donate online at drjamesdobson.org, via the Family Talk app, on our Facebook page, or by calling 877-732-6825. And every gift given between now and the end of the year will be doubled via our matching program. Thanks so much for listening to today's broadcast, and tune in next time for more from Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.